Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here in the KE Report. I'm kicking off this week's daily editorials with a company update from Josea Maria Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol JOSE and on the OTCQB under the symbol JOSMF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Adam Lundin. Now, Adam, it's been a couple months since I had you back on. The last time I featured Josea Maria Resources was at the tail end of October. Just to bring everybody up to speed and some of our new listeners up to speed, Josea Maria Resources holds the Josea Maria property in Argentina. This is a very de-risk copper asset. Already has some economics around it, a feasibility study. The company is really right now just working towards getting into construction. Now that deals with permitting process as all projects do. Now this permitting process is happening in Argentina, and a key news release came out last week, February 23rd, outlines that Josea Maria delivers environmental social impact assessment to the province of San Juan, Argentina. Adam, take us through how this development, how this progress of this ESIA is critical to moving this project towards that development, please.
Corey, first off, it's great to be back here and on the show. Thanks a lot for having me on again. And it's awesome to be here, you know, this week. Like you said, a crucial milestone for the company and submitting or completing the environmental social impact assessment. And what made it even more special was the response and the delivery of the documents at a nice broadcasted warm ceremony hosted by the governor of San Juan. It was a very pleasant reception, and it was very good dialogue. We're very happy to deliver it. This is a crucial step, you know, as we submit and wait for and continue dialogue, but wait for approval on our environmental social impact assessment. You know, getting this approved, it allows us to, you know, start the approval process on, you know, the water right permits and other key sectoral permits, so we can really begin construction. And this is the first step into the permitting process. So this opens doors into that permitting or that permitting chapter of the mine. And so we're excited to be entering into that.
How long did this ESIA take to submit here, Adam? I understand it's a big social impact assessment that, as you said, kicks off this whole permitting process. So how long was this in the making?
We've been monitoring the environment since we kind of started up there, but hard data that's been incorporated into the ESIA, it goes back to you know, 5 years. And also, I think what's special about this ESIA is, you know, we took feedback from communities, environmental authorities. We incorporated into the engineering and environmental assessment. You know, their climate change variables were incorporated into the modeling and engineering. The footprint of the project is well-defined and also smaller compared. We kept everything quite tight, and it's smaller, I guess, compared to different projects with this similar type of production profile. And also, you know, we made sure and we weren't going to move forward unless there were very minimum impacts to everything around us.
So what comes next then, Adam? What does the permitting process look like now that the ESIA is submitted?
So now that the ESIA is submitted, you know, we've scheduled 12 to 18 months to receive this permit. The San Juan authorities were out publicly saying that, you know, they want to beef up their team that's going to approve this process to hopefully get this done in less than 12 months. You know, they even threw out numbers like 8 months. I think all that is great. We're scheduled for 12 to 18. So if it comes in sooner, we're going to make sure that we're prepared and we can keep up with the authorities. So what's that involve us doing now? Now let's continue to bolster the team and bring on some key construction personnel. Let's continue, you know, elephant in the room, right? The CapEx, let's continue to talk with potential partners, streamers, royalty companies, banks. Let's get all this lined up and keep those dialogues going since we're on such a critical path to starting construction in 2022.
Okay, let's just remind everybody of the economics around this project, okay? There is a after-tax NPV at an 8% discount rate of a little over $1.5 billion. These numbers come from a $3 per pound copper price. So you're also getting an internal rate of return of a little over 15%. And the payback, a little under 4 years. This has a 19-year mine life. The resource is very large, too. You have a proven and probable reserves of 6.7 billion pounds of copper, 7 million ounces of gold, almost 31 million ounces of silver. How do these new metals prices, especially when it comes to copper, impact some of the economics that were presented in that feasibility study? But again, feasibility study done at $3 copper. Copper's over $4 right now.
Yeah, Corey, what you always like to do, and it's probably a little dangerous, but looking at the current commodity prices and seeing how that affects your NPV, IRR, and payback, obviously you're not doing those calculations in bad commodity market, but when you see the copper price, you know, flying high, it's hard not for me to plug that into my internal model and see what the results are. So every 10% move in copper adds $500 million to our NPV. So let's just not look at the gold and silver. We assume $1,500 gold and $18 silver, but let's just say, you know, that $3 copper price. So it's every 10% move. I think we hit $4.20 a pound, maybe a couple of days ago, and that adds $2 billion to our NPV. So you're looking at a $3.5 billion NPV at today's commodity prices. And, you know, that brings your payback sub 3 years and your IRR well over 20%. And so for a big boy project like this, to have those economics is just scary. So I think I'm going to have to stop doing those calculations because it makes the project look too good.
So how does that open up project financing options for you because of the balance of, well, copper, large copper asset, but also having the 7 million ounces of gold, 30 million ounces of silver?
On that, it keeps, obviously, you know, interest. You see an increasing market cap. You become more on people's radars with those commodity moves. I think when it comes to help financing, if there's more players around who want to see your project go, there's more capital available to you. Maybe there's more discussions you can be having, potential partners that you didn't know existed start to pop up. But for us, you know, we have some key, you know, royal and streaming team companies that we highly respect. There's a couple private equity companies who've worked with the group in the past that we continue to have dialogue with. I think it becomes, you know, people willing to use maybe a better commodity price than 6 months ago, which means a lesser cost of capital and more economics for your equity shareholders like myself.
So now that this ESIA is in the work or has been submitted and the permitting process, well, it sounds like there is now more a straightforward path to getting into construction by, who knows, next year. When do you need to address that project financing?
Yeah, I think with the family and where we are and people understanding us and that we're committed, we're willing to go all the way. I think as long as we get the first year, say construction finance, we're happy to start breaking ground. So I think we're going to continue those talks and start having them now. You know, every step that we're on to is the biggest step for the company. And so we just keep building on big steps, you know, goes feasibility study, getting into permitting, project finance, construction team, fiscal stability. It's just huge items this year that are going to be great catalysts for the story going forward. That is the complete focus of mine right now.
Can you share with us any potential hiccups or speed bumps that the company might face as you do progress into next year and into construction?
I think a potential speed bump that could play out, other than the obvious with, you know, COVID coming back up and really freezing the world, I think other speed bumps could be, you know, unforeseen political turmoil. I hope that doesn't happen. I think that's okay. It's really stuff that's completely out of your hands. It's great when you're in mining business because that's always your commodity price, but I strongly believe the copper price is in good shape and here to stay. And we're going to play a big role in electrifying the globe and helping the world get off fossil fuels. So we're pumped and yeah, I think other than, you know, political, commodity, COVID, those are the things that I can't control that could be potential speed bumps.
Yeah, fair enough. None of us can control that, but hopefully we can get this whole COVID situation behind us. I do want you to address a general question that I know will come in from some of the listeners trying to compare these more advanced copper projects that do have larger capexes but have long mine lives and are profitable, especially at these current levels. How does Jose Maria stand out compared to some of these other also advanced projects around the world?
I think we have projects maybe similar to, maybe bigger than us or similar in size that maybe had a feasibility study out before us, but really haven't gone anywhere since then. You know, we're in a great jurisdiction. I'll continue to prove Argentina up and stand by my words. The dialogue there is great. And you know, projects really smaller than us, big projects is what matter and moves the needle, and we need a lot of copper, and Jose Maria is a big project and going to help fuel that gap that we have now in supply on the copper market. I think all those other, you know, smaller copper projects, people like to focus on IR and quick builds, but mining's challenging. You might as well make it count than focus on those projects.
All right. Well, one other thing to, I guess, ask about is the possibility of simply just having a partner or maybe multiple partners on this project. There is a large capex here. You do have some options because of the precious metals components, but how likely is it for you guys to bring on a partner to help you build this?
I think it's very likely. I think, if that partner is a streaming or royalty company, or is that partner an international mining company, or, doors are open, assets completely unencumbered. We're open to partnerships. We've done it successfully in the past. If it's, been Freeport on 10K or Newcrest at Lending Gold, we enjoy working with people. And I think it's also what's prudent. You see a lot of it on the oil side. They partner up way more frequently than we do on the mining side. I think the mining side's going that way more. So I think it's very likely you see us have partners, and not likely that when we're in production, it's us owning 100% at the asset level.
Okay. Adam, I appreciate this update. It's nice to see the progress now and into this permitting already with this ESIA submitted. And now it just comes down to, continuing on with permitting and then eventually getting into construction. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Adam regarding the asset or anything going on within Jose Maria Resources, please email me fleck@kereport.com and I will get those answered for you. Adam, thanks for your time. I appreciate the update.
Always a pleasure. Thanks a lot, Corey.